Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Fawning over and skewering all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Chris.
I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget. And our opinions are valid.
Breaking Bad premiered tonight, season 5.
Yeah. Wow. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about
Small Town Security. Yes.
People are definitely more...
So there's the woman...
She thinks she might have a camel toe, and the older woman is like, what's a camel toe?
Wait, let's back up. What is the premise of this show?
It doesn't matter. I think it's pretty much, I think the title explains it pretty well.
It writes itself.
Is the security...
It doesn't, no one writes it.
But is, I know. Is the security team small, or is the town small?
Oh, I would imagine that the town, I don't know. Now I kind of want
to
know.
We're going to have to find out. There's a rich mythology, I'm thinking.
Yes, definitely. twists and turns.
We're kidding. We're JKing with you.
AMC decided to premiere Breaking Bad with their new reality series, Small Town Security. And now we don't know what's next on Breaking Bad.
Maybe that's
Bad
better,
week.
Though. Maybe, yeah. Like, I want to go into the season not knowing anything about what's going to happen.
Even AMC is, like, purposely vague.
Yes.
Not even that.
Nextons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. I feel like Vince Gilligan is a little looser on things than
I think
Matthew
it's a
Weiner.
Trap to get people to watch what is obviously a bad show.
Clearly.
Right. Like the pitch was after Mad Men season 5.
I'm not going to be hijacked by you, AMC.
No. I'll just not know what's going to happen.
That's fine. I'm not going to watch your stupid show.
It's fine.
They tricked me like twice into thinking that it was the show during the episode. Because like right after the credits, it was like the thing where it showed like it was a commercial for Small Town Security, but it seemed like it could be part of Breaking Bad.
You thought that was
well,
it's wacky security
cops, and it was you know, the opening scene of Breaking Bad was kind of a gotcha, what's going on kind of thing.
So let's start that at the beginning.
New Hampshire.
Breaking Bad,
California.
You know that he has hair. You know, because he has hair, you know it's a time jump.
Right. So, a la the past seasons in which they give you abstract clues as to what this flash forward is that's going to be continuing in the cold opens for the rest of the series.
I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
I hear you.
I don't know.
But what would you expect for the final season of the show?
I'm not saying I wouldn't expect it, but I'm tired of it. Because I want to just know, because they do it all the time, and now I just want to know why he's in California.
It's a trick that's been used a lot on lots of shows lately, is what you're saying?
Have other shows taken that?
No, I'm just sick of Breaking Bad doing it.
Oh.
Were you sick of it last?
I was getting sick of it last season.
Did they do it in season 4?
I don't think they really did it.
Are you sure?
Season 4.
No,
season
maybe they
or
didn't.
Season 3.
Season 3 was the cousins.
I think
they just did it season 2.
Yeah.
Season 3 did it with the cousins.
But then they abandoned it halfway through because the cousins died.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, with the...
Season 2 is the only one that had, like, the full-on...
Throughout the whole season.
Yeah. And I think it's an okay thing to do one season.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want them to...
Really? They didn't do it for season 4?
No, because it started right after... Because it was too much of a quote-unquote cliffhanger to do it, which...
Oh, with Gale.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, come on. But I thought this was also a huge, like, I just don't think they need it. I don't think they need it.
If I had to argue for it, and I don't know if I believe this, maybe I'm just playing devil's advocate, but I like the idea that obviously this is the final season, and so the biggest question we're wondering is what's the fate or future of Walter White?
And now we know.
And we don't necessarily know, but it's definitely...
Now we know, he's in California.
But
New Hampshire.
He's from New Hampshire.
He's
in California.
For work in California.
Okay.
In which he finds a...
I confuse those.
He purchases a... Well, then he...
And he goes to Denny's.
Still mean to him.
Product placement. I don't know. I think it's like way too... I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen, and I kind of don't want to know, and I want to just kind of absorb
just
these
let
last...
It be.
Yeah, just like absorb the last 16 episodes as they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget, I see what you're saying, and I don't always love that narrative device, although I don't not love it. I guess what I guess I agree with you in that it's been used on lots of serialized shows in general. I guess like a show like Damages kind of just ran into the ground in
that's
a bad way.
That's true.
Or like Lost obviously does that a lot. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. I don't know. It actually wasn't bothering me during it. It's like now talking about
exactly.
I'm recognizing that it was not like my favorite
I'm
part
still
of the
really
episode.
Intrigued though about
I want to know.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think just the whole idea of once again being a last show and coming full circle, just the very visual part of obviously him having hair and with different glasses, it's like you're making it wondering, you know, how does this come full circle to how Walter White started.
It's also hard for people like me who can't remember very well what happened in the last season when it starts like that.
Yeah,
and
I had to
keep saying like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He was dead.
See, I usually am like that. I'm usually like, wait, how did last season end? But I feel like Breaking Bad is... I'm never like that with this show for some reason.
Oh, I'm always...
I feel like I've had Gus Fring's half face in my brain, like, plastered in the foreground.
I remember that, but there's lots of other stuff
surrounding
it. The
stuff about Ted, like, why Skylar owed Ted money, like, that stuff...
Skylar didn't owe Ted money.
Or why all that stuff was happening, like, I was fuzzy on the details until they had the conversation where basically Bob Odenkirk reminded the viewers.
Yeah. So I mean, it all came out to me, came back to me throughout the course of the episode.
Right. And that's maybe a reason why they didn't, because they didn't have a huge previous last season on Breaking Bad intro.
Yes. Cause they actually thinking about it that way, they did a very good job of reminding viewers what was happening, but it not feeling like intrusive. And not being like a
Dexter.
Black and white, right? This just happened 5 seconds ago. Do you remember?
Like, blatant kind of exposition and review.
Yeah.
What is a show where it reminds us what just happened?
A show.
I don't know. Children's Hospital.
No, but like a real.
I don't know.
Show, and we're like,
the newsroom
we just
did that.
Saw it. Oh no, there's another.
No, you think on that.
I will.
Yeah, think about it.
It does feel kind of weird, like you were saying, Mark. It's hard to give too much criticism to a show that's so serialized like Breaking Bad. Not only just after the season premiere, but knowing that there's going to be 16 full episodes to this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really hard to
even
equate that.
But the one thing I was also thinking about during the show is how this is actually an episode that worked really well on its own as like a...
It's a heist
introduction.
Episode.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like a good like... basic, like, we need to get this computer broken. What do we do to break it? Let's break it. Done.
Breaking Bad.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Exactly.
More like breaking computer.
Magnets.
Speaking of jokes, Ryan McGee of BoobTube Dude and various other podcasts and Twitters and stuff recently did a blog post about... the half-hour comedy show and how that's, you know, no longer becoming the comedy show, especially because shows like Breaking Bad often tend to be funny.
Comedic, yeah.
And as well as half-hour shows tend to be dramatic.
Right.
And I think that there was a few...
What's a dramatic half-hour show?
Like Enlightened.
That's not
Weeds
a
to some extent. The Big C to some extent.
Weeds is only a half an hour.
Good one.
Hey-o.
Anyways, but I think they definitely showed that the comedic chops in this show tonight, especially with just the visual shot of Mike in the right hand corner, Walt in the left hand corner, and then Jesse sitting in the pompous aisle in the middle, and then
out of focus,
right? Then bickering back and forth about what's the best way to get this computer or break this computer, and then Jesse literally in the background says, "Magnets, yo." Mm-hmm.
That almost
like a magnet, yo.
Yeah.
That almost read like Sean's fan fiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Version.
Right.
Which, if you haven't
dialogue,
read,
you must.
You must. Even though, spoiler alert, it's not an actual Breaking Bad script.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And actually, time travel would have helped in this situation quite a bit.
Time travel always would maybe help or destroy
everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
This is the perfect. It's probably the only perfect plot device.
Yeah.
Time travel?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree.
Or shrinking.
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 There's been enough shrink. Ant-Man is going to be a movie now. Did you hear that?
What's Ant-Man?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh.
I don't know.
He's the member of the Avengers that can shrink down to the size of an ant.
Okay.
He's going to be directed by
Is he going to hang out with the Avengers then later?
That'd be tiny.
Supposedly. Yeah. Edgar Wright is directing it.
And be like, oh. Hey, yeah. Fellas, down here.
Interesting.
And it may or may not be Simon Pegg starring in it. We'll see.
Mm. Who's Simon Pegg?
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Oh.
You like him.
Yeah, I do.
We'll see.
All right.
Anyways, back to television, because that's what we talk about here.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad.
It's really hard to talk about it immediately after watching it, because I feel like Breaking Bad is a show where I need to...
And not just
the first episode. So we did this with Game of Thrones, and it was easy, because we had, like, 10 episodes to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. It was the finale.
Right. The finale is in many ways different.
You see, the end versus the beginning.
Webster's Dictionary
defines premiere as...
Webster's Online Dictionary.
Yeah.
Dictionary.com.
This isn't boding well, guys. We only have 10 minutes so far.
Damn it.
How about Should we time
song?
Travel and start over?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, time travel. Once again, it would solve and ruin
or shrinking.
Everything.
Shrinkage.
I don't think shrinking would help us in this scenario.
You don't think so?
If we it'd be really hard. The whole episode then would revolve around us trying to hit stop on the keyboard.
Because
we
wouldn't
tiny. Exactly.
And that's what we'd be trying. So that was what we'd be spending our time trying to do. So if the three of us just spontaneously shrunk to the size of ants, the first worry we'd have is we better stop recording the podcast.
Priorities.
Well, yeah, you don't want it to keep recording.
Just nothing.
Exactly. We
do you think the dogs would eat us?
Oh, shit.
I bet they would come and just lick and that would be it.
Oh, yeah. Then we'd just be swallowed and digested.
Yeah.
We'd have to be able to get into their fur.
Red dog.
We'd have to be able to get into their fur and control them somehow.
Get into a fur.
Like, pull the string. Like in Ratatouille?
Yeah. Or
we'd have to climb into their ear and control
their brain. We'd need to get another... We'd have to be smaller than... regular ants and then get on top of the ants like...
But there aren't like
it would just turn
our
into
house
honey
isn't like crawling
kids.
With ants though. We'd be waiting around for a while for
yeah.
an ant.
And well, we could. Oh yeah, I guess because traveling to outside would be the equivalent of us traveling to like Alexandria. Or something.
Right, and then we don't have our tiny cars.
No, there's no tiny car.
Oh man.
However, I'm looking around the room now.
I know, me too. And there's like.
Are there any tiny cars in this room?
No.
No, but is Damn there it. Something that could be used as
a tiny car.
Vehicle of some sort?
Newspaper. We could make a. We should just start preparing an paper airplanes
yes,
right now.
You're sure.
Just
we should
in
make
case.
Like 1,000 tiny paper. But who's gonna throw the paper?
I know. I just thought of that.
This is not gonna work out.
Okay,
guys.
We need to prepare by making and training the dogs to throw. Yeah, we should.
This is
come up with a series
I'm,
of
I'm thinking
devices.
You got that drill over there.
Mm-hmm. Was the drill possibly gonna help us?
Well, I'm thinking because if we can get it to go, like, and we stand on top of the drill part that rotates, that'll shoot us off like a.
That would kill us instantly. And who's gonna?
I
get
think
it
that
to
remains
go?
To be seen.
All right, you go
guys,
first.
Okay.
We just spent
3 minutes
out of our 13 minutes talking about shrinking all right. ourselves.
And I think that
so there was no shrinking in this episode
no,
of Breaking Bad.
But I think there really should be a show about a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids show.
Yeah.
But like dramatically told like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
I would watch that too.
That'd be adventuresome.
I'd watch the crap out of that.
More discussion on Breaking Bad.
So Denny's. And it's his birthday.
Oh yeah, that's a good clue.
Okay.
52nd birthday.
So and the guy came into but we found out who the guy was, so never mind.
Wait,
I was gonna
do?
Throw out a Sopranos theory.
Who was the guy in the bathroom?
He sold him the semi-automatic gun.
I was gonna suggest.
He did? Did I miss that?
Yeah.
In the beginning.
That's how that you said that's how you wanted to babysit my child. Is secretly meet in the Denny's
bathroom. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, I didn't realize what it was that they were switching.
Oh.
He had the gun.
There was a gun in the car that he
I don't see
took.
Guns, I guess. I had that.
Start seeing motorcyclists. What?
What? This is getting goofy.
Here's one thing.
Yeah?
About the show.
Uh-huh.
That I'm just wondering... Going into the season, what I'm going to be thinking is that the last time there was a show that ended with two season, like one season split into two, was The Sopranos.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Tell me about because I never got that far. So.
Oh, you should.
What?
I will. Yeah. I someday.
Do we need to tweet at Chris Polly?
Yeah. How far are you in The Sopranos?
Do we need to inundate his Twitter
somewhere
boxes?
Season 4. Lady Amy and I were watching it, and then
season
she
four?
Moved away, yeah.
All right, everyone, man, you're tweet weird. Your most favorite reason to why Christian
should I
Sopranos.
Should I go in the other room so you can talk about it freely, or can you explain the parallels?
No, I can explain
parallels
it. I can
without
explain it.
Spoiling?
Yeah, The Sopranos season 6.
Is this
you know,
before or after Tony dies?
go on. It's split into two, so like from a viewing perspective, I went into the first part of season 6 feeling kind of like anticlimactic because I knew it was the final season, but I also knew that like it wasn't gonna end in a way that was dramatically as fulfilling as a lot of the other Sopranos seasons go.
Right.
And retrospectively, looking at the final season of The Sopranos as one long season with kind of like a break.
How many episodes was it total?
There are 21.
Holy
in the final.
Shit.
Yeah. There are 12 and then 9.
I don't understand. And 12 of those episodes aired 1 year.
Yeah.
And then the other 9 aired
another
year. Why is
it just
2
year. Seasons?
Yeah. I don't understand any of this.
Contractually,
but also
Sopranos' final season works better if you look at the two seasons as one season from a story perspective.
Okay.
So that's what I'm wondering how Breaking Bad will handle that going into that.
Story-wise.
It will the final episode of this first section of the final season. Will it feel like a letdown in some way? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we have
no idea, but... Here was my theory that was totally kind of torn apart. I guess not necessarily had to be, but was kind of torn apart by this premiere. I thought that the first, my gut instinct was like the first 8 episodes could have been the conflict between Mike and Jesse and Walt, mm-hmm. and then the other 8 episodes could have been Hank, the eventual Hank finding out about Walt. To come to the full circle resolution at the end. But in this premiere, I mean, I thought it was actually pretty bold of them to just have Mike come straight at them. Like, they literally run into each other in that dirt road when Mike finds out about Gus. And so that ends up them being forced to work together. But I thought it was interesting that Walt made sure to say, you know, whatever differences we have, they'll keep. So once they, you know, have completed this... heist, breaking the computer so that there's no video footage of any of the three of them available to police, then does that mean in episode 2 that the conflict will come flare back up and then Mike's going to try to take them out? Or does Mike even have any kind of allegiance anymore now that Gus is dead?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like he would have any reason to really...
He's always wanted to kill Walt. I think he's been looking for a reason. I mean...
But for
not always,
but
for
what for
a
reason?
While.
Like for
because Walt's.
I don't know if he's ever wanted to kill. The only reason he's wanted to kill him is because he thought he'd screw up their whole operation.
But I think
but now
he
that
still
Gus
thinks
is dead,
that he did. Okay, Gus is dead, but I'm guessing. I'm not in the drug game. But like
spoiler.
But I feel like so I kill the head guy. It's not like Game of Thrones. Like, okay, well, we're seeing in Game of Thrones that it's not
good
so
point.
Easy as I kill the king and now I'm the king.
Right.
But, right? There's all other kinds of,
like... That's one of the things that made Walter's...
Allegiances and shit and other kind of things going on. And I know Walt doesn't necessarily want to become, like, the new king, but, like, I feel like there's going to be...
I think he does, though, yeah.
I also feel like him, like, calling Skyler, we saw him saying, like, it's over, I won, we're safe. Like... To me, that's foreshadowing to, like, there's no way that it's over. Which we know, because there's a two halves of a season left. But also, the we're safe, and, like, I think what I was getting from a lot of the Mike's anger towards Walt and Jesse and him saying, like, do you realize what you did, is that, like, it's not, you didn't win by killing Gus. Like, I'm guessing there are all kinds of repercussions that Mike would be the kind of person who would be, like, aware of what those are.
Right.
And, like, what other kinds of, like, allegiance, like, who's going to come after them and, you know, who's going to, what kind of loyalty things are going to happen. Whereas I feel like people like Jesse and Walt, Jesse definitely wouldn't know, Walt doesn't know, but thinks that Walt thinks he knows everything, but he still hasn't been in it as long as most of these people, and I think he's getting over cocky, and I think...
Yeah, and I think, I think you're right, is that there's got to be some kind of downfall for Walt eventually, but I think one of the things that they tried to do with the season 4 finale is to show how smart Walt is, because he came to a realization that, and we saw this through a parallel of Gus taking down everybody in his past at that mansion or whatever, where there was all those girls and he poisoned everybody, that, you know, that he can take out an empire in one fell swoop, that if Gus is no longer there, I mean, it's not, are people going to, are going to defend his honor? I mean,
no, they were just his employees. Right, but are they just going to want to be this asshole's employees? If it's, no, I mean, that's, I, like, that's, if, it's that's so, a if it's so easy right. for, so I don't know that it's loyalty to Gus that's going to be felt, but it's people not wanting to necessarily take orders now from Walt.
Right. Well, and,
who has not, shown to be a very good leader.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about foreshadowing, too, Walt and Mike and Jesse driving away, and Mike saying, "This isn't over, you left the truck," and Walt being adamant saying, "No, I took care of everything." Obviously, we know that's not true because he left the camera there. You know, there's got to be some loose ends somewhere. And obviously, you know, they also found that picture Gus that has other evidence. There's
a dress behind it, which, so is that, I was wondering about that picture. They didn't stay on it too long, but is it the same picture that we saw in season 4 where it's Gus and his best friend / possible lover?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Is that definite lover, wasn't he?
I don't think it was ever explicitly said, but pretty heavily implied, right?
I didn't get that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was like his partner who he...
I thought they were just best friends. Like you broke back mountain.
Bachelor. Right, yes.
Like me and Paul are.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Are you having another sleepover tonight?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't go. It's a crash over.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
It's funny because...
cuckold.
Well, yeah, clearly...
I didn't get that. That makes me like him more.
Yeah, they kind of weighed your sympathies for
him.
Yeah. All right.
They made him sympathetic in season 4 somewhat.
I still think they made him sympathetic, but sympathetic.
I think the point, to me, the point was Walt is definitely wants to be king. He's definitely relishing the fact that he's a total badass, like, villain now.
That final scene when he hugged Skylar and he just said, like, "I forgive you."
Yeah.
And, like, the look on his face and, like, their whole interaction, that gave me chills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's clearly relishing. Now
towards
he's,
everyone, even he's, his wife.
Yeah, exactly. He's clearly relishing that.
My wife.
I know, his wife.
Yeah.
I caught your reference. But there's obviously repercussions coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned that final scene. That's probably the only really tender, quiet moment in the show, the rest of this premiere anyways, because like we're talking about, it was a heist story. It was a self-contained plot within the greater scheme of things. But that was kind of the point of the end of the finale as well, was the final shot in the finale, the Walt in the garden, and we find out that had Lily in the Lily of the Valley there.
Yeah.
And it also shows, once again, just like a reminder, like, this isn't your protagonist anymore. This is an evil dude.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they did that once again here. But they not only focusing on just his evilness, but like, as you hinted before earlier, like his arrogance, just straight up, like, you even said it when he was saying, "I forgive you" to Skylar, or did you say, I don't forget, like,
don't
somebody
remember.
Said, you know, he forgives her, like, what is, after
oh that was Claude, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Claude said, for what?
Yeah, for what?
I was only thinking of the Mr. Show sketch, though.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
But okay. but it applies also.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, oh, what a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, and, like, it was really interesting. And dick. Skylar, like, we all loved to hate her early on.
An absurd contingent of people that are Skylar haters now,
which I don't understand anymore because I think she's now like a totally sympathetic character. And
yeah,
but like the look on Skylar's face, and for like the look on Skylar's face when Walt walked into the room, and how she kind of immediately like saw that he was there, and she turned and like stepped in front of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I feel like the whole. Just in this first episode, from what I'm remembering from last season, this is the first time that it seems like Skylar has shown that she's afraid of Walt, yeah. and that she doesn't
she
really...
She even said it herself.
And, like, right. she doesn't know what he's yeah. gonna do, and, like... But, like, that stepping in front of the baby mm-hmm. was just, like...
That's a and new the,
and
dynamic,
look, Yeah,
too.
And the look on her face, and yeah. that she was immediately, like, he's not gonna tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was
so,
actually...
So, like, the first place her mind goes is that they're not on the same side anymore. She's, like... Mm-hmm. I mean, it that, like, whole interaction... Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about it a little bit, but as I was watching it, reminded me of like a Sopranos type interaction where yeah. Walt is like this mob, you know, he's mm. he's in it. Skylar's a mob wife.
She understands
where, yeah, but also like she's afraid. Right. Whereas before it seemed like Skylar was a lot more powerful than say a Carmella ever mm. seemed in mm. the Sopranos. That's and now true. She's, it seems like she's falling into the role mm-hmm. of like, she's really jumpy. She's nervous. She understands that she too can be taken out.
Well, because Walt let her be complicit, but then he also kind of somewhere along the lines of season four, closer to the finale probably, but I mean, when he decided to do this whole plan of killing Gus, mm-hmm. of help getting Tio involved and all that, he kind of pulled away from what Skylar had thought, you know, was her role in all of this and mm-hmm. Her acceptance of all this. And clearly we see that with the phone call at the both in the finale and brought back mm-hmm. here in the premiere of season five, is that she... There is a line that can be crossed for her, and she's not going there with Walt anymore. Same thing with when she mm-hmm. goes to the Four yeah. Corners with Holly in season four and decides, mm-hmm. you know, whether or not to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And you actually mentioning the baby thing really struck me, because I actually thought, like, watching the show, especially as a new dad, like, I'd never really was a big deal to me, like, how Walt's never around with the baby. We could even barely remember her name, because Walt's the more central figure of the show. But, like, mm-hmm. seeing the premiere and, like, watching it for the first time since I had my kid, like, it's... I mean, there's tons of things that are fucked up about Walt's priorities, but just, like, the fact that he tries to play with the baby, like, he's always there for her in the premiere. Obviously, we're only getting a certain portion of their lives through the television show, but it seems fucked up that he's, like, trying to, like, be a dad to her in those few moments when he's, like, never around anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but also... Part of that is, I think, the syndrome or whatever that happens when a baby enters a TV show.
That's true.
And because yeah. it's all, I mean, no one's always shown with the baby. I mean, the baby gets, and I don't the even know, I don't, and I don't know how intentional that is and how much this is like, well, babies can hardly be, I mean, it's hard for a baby in a show like this to be more than a plot device
yeah.
or yeah. help a different, because what are you going to do with a baby? It's not real.
I demand more character development.
Right, but I mean, so I get what you're saying, and I think yeah. that is supposed to show something about Walt's character, but I do think that at least some percent of that is just...
Right. I did like, though, some things they did with... Well, I think this was just season four, when Skylar had to cart around the baby, for instance, like when she had to go to the car wash, or she had to mm-hmm. try to pretend to get a locksmith
Can't the
to
brother
like, break in.
Yeah, Walt Jr.
He's like 17 or something, right?
I don't know. He's too busy.
Or Marie?
Breakfast.
What's Marie doing?
Yeah, she's stealing stuff.
Yeah.
I think that it's weird that it's probably not weird, because Breaking Bad is wont to do this of showing, you know, just glimpses of different characters. But you actually asked when we saw Hank for the first time in the episode, or him actually walking,
mm-hmm.
and we were like,
yeah.
Since when is he actually walking?
I did not remember.
We knew that he was working towards that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, it's... dog's making funny noises.
Dog snores, don't worry.
Always hilarious.
Is Contagion on right now, or is this just a commercial?
I think it's Contagion.
Probably. Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Commercial!
That's commercial!
Like...
what do you guys think about Hank? If obviously he thought about the camera, and he's going to put two and two together, that the camera the computer was destroyed because it linked to the camera.
I'm so happy that Hank has finally been like vindicated, and even in that tiny little like, just say I told you so.
Right.
And Hank doesn't care. Like, I think this is like a sharp contrast between where Hank has come
mm-hmm.
as a person of in terms of like his values or whatever yeah. you want to call it yeah. versus Walt.
Yeah.
Because in that moment when his coworker says, you know, just right. say I told you so, Hank's not even listening to that. He's still doing his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, none of this is for Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's all for... Everything Walt does is for Walt.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's, even in this moment of where he could be like, and I probably would be it. Like, see?
And actually, he's like,
even for a moment, but...
He probably would have been like that, like in season one or two.
Mm-hmm. Right. But now it's become... It's about... something that's bigger than him.
Right. That's one of the great things about this show is people keep talking, harping on the transformation of its main character, Walter White, but every character seems like every character that's had like a pretty large role anyways mm-hmm. has had their own transformation of sorts.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of it.
I would say that, except for Walt Jr.
Except for Walt Jr.
I feel that, I feel like Walt Jr. almost as much as the baby is just a plot device.
Yeah.
And Marie.
Yeah.
Well, are they really, I mean, I feel like they've got to, the writers are too smart not to find out a way to make Walt Jr. and or Marie at least a central part of this final season.
Yeah, I hope so.
If here's a question. If Walt is willing to go to hurt Brock, the lengths of hurting Brock to win Jesse's allegiance, would he do something similar with either Walt Jr. for Skyler or Marie for Hank?
Possibly.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But then they're still just a plot device.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I feel like after four seasons, I feel like they made a concerted effort to try to make Marie more of a central character. Last year, I remember reading a lot of things about how Marie was finally going to be an important character. Mm-hmm. And she still ended up kind of being...
Well, she had that one episode.
Yeah, she had the one episode, which is cool. And it was good.
And it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. But it... Yeah.
But it also didn't really feel like the show.
Right. No. It didn't really fit in with the rest of the... What was
the grander
going
scheme
on. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well... Walt Jr. at least is... Marie, I actually don't really care that much about. Like, yeah. I don't really care. She can...
Taxi Cab Confessions is still a show? Sorry.
It repeats, you know.
It's repeats.
But, okay.
Repeats.
Repeats.
That's what I call repeats.
The following show was recorded in Las Vegas after dark.
Taxi was rigged with 6 lipstick size hidden cameras.
Why lipstick size?
I don't know. There's many other things that are that size.
That's really weird.
Like a penis.
Yeah, you're right.
Not mine.
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Listeners, what was I saying?
Staplers on True. Oh, yeah, I knew that. Staplers
on True. So I don't really care that much about Marie, but I...
Care about Walt Jr.?
Walt Jr., yeah. And because... Walt Jr. is going to have to find out at some point.
Right.
I'm surprised that he hasn't...
Well, it was interesting.
I'm constantly surprised whenever they show Walt Jr. and he's always like, Dad, did you hear about this thing that happened? And I have no idea that, like... Because he's not, like, an idiot.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, also going back to your mentioning of how Hank reacted to his partner who was trying to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Walter also kind of just dismissed his son, even though his son was basically saying, check out how badass this thing that happened is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And like, once again, it shows him as a terrible father, just like totally dismissing his son, even though he's basically doing one thing that his ego could easily feed into.
Well, except when Walt Jr. said, Uncle Hank's like a total hero again. Mm-hmm. That's when Walt's like, because... I'm sure in Walt's mind, he's thinking, I'm the hero, I saved his life.
Right. Same reason why because they let it slip in season 4 that Gale wasn't the...
But it shows, like, in how twisted, I think, like... And it's just such an incredible group of actors on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so incredible to see just, like, Walt's face. Like, you can see what he's thinking at this point. And I felt like when Walt Jr. said Hank's a hero and his, like... facial reaction to that was you could see the wheel saying like, no, I'm the hero, but I can never tell you. I never get to tell you that it's actually me and everyone loves Hank again. Right. And like in his twisted mind, what he did was heroic. Him taking out Gus was a heroic act. Right. It wasn't for him. It wasn't for, and again, like even the scummy lawyer, Bob Odenkirk said, no, maybe it was Mike. It was Mike. I think
said what?
Who is it that said now, like, oh, a bunch of old people at a nursing home isn't enough for you? Now you're going to take out a whole...
Oh, was that Saul? I don't remember.
Maybe that was Mike. Either way, it wasn't, like, a good character. Right. I mean, it wasn't
somebody that has their own moral grayness.
Yeah. Right. That is something that we didn't even, like, discuss from when we're looking at it from Walt's point of view is, yeah, other people must have been pretty badly injured in that nursing home explosion.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was not a safe space to kill
one
man.
And
when
Saul says, like, you didn't tell me that you're going to put this kid in the hospital. Like, he didn't, you know, plant that cigarette because he thought that it would lead to that.
Right.
Clearly he was left in the dark about it.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Mike and like the great actors in the show. And the funny thing is that Bryan Cranston was talking with Alan Sepinwall in an interview about the seasons of Breaking Bad up to this point. And one thing he talked about is how the scripts are great, the writers are great, and that's part of the reason why the actors are able to deliver such great lines, because they have good material to work with. But the moments in which they're not talking are also mm-hmm. pretty awesome. And we've talked, it feels like every moment that we talked about is like a cool moment in the premiere, mm-hmm. had that element to it of, characters not reacting to what somebody else is saying, and because clearly something else is going on in their minds. Mm-hmm. And we can tell that without, devices like voiceover or, overly expositioned right. kind of scenes.
If I were writing fanfic, if I were going to ship this show.
You don't already?
I would spend a lot of time describing those moments.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be like 10 pages. Right. That would be most of it. It would be me describing.
If it was written by Aaron Sorkin, it would be.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
So just be explaining why he's bad and why other people are good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That would be the whole show. What did you guys think of Jesse's entrance? I thought that was really awesome. He just like jumped into the screen.
What was the first time we see him in the movie?
It was right after the two cars were coming at each other.
Oh, that's the first time he shows up in the premiere?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I think I mumbled to myself, great entrance.
Yeah, that was definitely a mumble. And I like that in your head it was great entrance.
But what I actually said was, great entrance.
Yeah. What was that, Mark?
No.
Be quiet. Yeah. I do think I love Aaron Paul in the role. I love Jesse Pinkman. He didn't have a whole lot to do in this episode, but
But what he did have was
enthusiastically supporting Jesse Pinkman.
Right. Yeah. Well, when we're talking about transformations, it's so fascinating that clearly he's a character that has transformed, but he's so easily sucked into Walter's manipulation that like this first episode premiere, if somebody hadn't seen what happened in seasons 3 and 4, they would have been just be like, oh yeah, this is Jesse from season right. 1 and 2, where he's just Walt's sidekick.
Yeah, and compare him to the season premiere of season 4, where I don't think he had any lines in the entire episode, because he was just so shell-shocked from what he just did.
Killing mm-hmm. Gale.
Yeah, and now he's kind of... He's still kind of the good guy deep down, but it seems like he's a little more hardened now that mm-hmm. time has gone past a little bit since he killed Gale. Right.
It's fun. I mean, it's the whole good guy, bad guy. Like, it's hard not to think of characters in those terms, and it's funny because I think of Mike as a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, like...
He's done a lot of bad things.
Objectively, like, in our reality, like, he's a bad guy.
He's a criminal that has killed many people.
Right. Right. So, and, like, but I keep thinking, like, it seemed almost like there's a battle going on for Jesse between, good father figure, which would be Mike, and a bad father figure, which would be Walt. And of course, he's still siding with Walt, and, mm-hmm. Mike's still saying, Jesse, do you...
You like, always have time.
Like Mike
still
is
have
trying
to
reach
leave.
Out to Jesse.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that was interesting. He's like, you need to...
Yeah, the only reason Mike probably didn't shoot Walt is because Jesse decided to get in the middle.
Yeah.
Which is also, like, so Mike's a good enough... This the assassin who works for, like, a drug cartel.
One of the biggest drug dealers in the world.
is a good enough guy to want to see Jesse.
Right.
Like, to see something in Jesse.
Yeah.
And to value him as a human being enough.
Well, and here's...
Whereas Walt, I don't think would really...
And here, I'm thinking back now to that episode in season 3, the half measures speech that Mike gives about how if you're going to do something, you can't just do it halfway. You have to do it
mm-hmm.
all the way. Mm-hmm. You can kind of see that life philosophy of Mike's being carried out and seeing what Walt is doing. In a lot of ways, Walt is still kind of taking shortcuts to make himself the best. And Mike, he's more of a veteran criminal mm-hmm. than Walt is. You can kind of, foreshadowing wise, I could kind of see how what he said in that episode is coming back to kind of bite Walter.
Right. Especially because, like you said, he's taking shortcuts. Like, he was very much in his mind doing a heroic and totally game-changing thing by killing off Gus and all that in the finale, and he forgets something as easy as video cameras.
Yeah, and even in the premiere tonight, like Chris, you pointed out that he was overzealous with the magnet.
Oh
thing,
yeah.
That you know all he wanted to do is turn the dial as quickly as he could so he could get this thing done. And when it was done, he was so happy with himself that he solved the problem. Well, we know that there's always going to be more things that are going to pop up that he didn't see himself because he's
He didn't solve the problem. Jesse solved this problem.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesse was the one saying, good. Yeah, that's good. We're done. We can drive away.
So even
now,
though he looks like the sidekick that was the same from season one and two, he acting that, but he's way smarter than that now.
Yeah.
He but could easily become
Walt
a veteran.
And I think maybe that's what Mike sees in Jesse.
Right.
That that Jesse has some kind of an ethical code. Yeah. Like Mike does. Like people that seem to make it in this business have, right? Again, The Sopranos would... you have to have some kind of...
Right.
Something
right.
that you're sticking with. Some kind of loyalty, something. Right. Whereas Walt doesn't have any of that. And I think Walt doesn't want Jesse to see that in himself because as long as Jesse stays his sidekick.
Right.
But it makes me so sad for Jesse...
Mm-hmm.
That his two like father figures that he's choosing between is Mike and Walt, neither of which is like a great option. Exactly, and then even in that he's sticking with Walt, and it's just like, I really really, I don't know. Maybe this is too like Pollyanna of me, but I would really love to see Jesse finally come out on top. In this season, I would like to see Jesse somehow. Finally, like, getting out of it. Because he's wanted to get out of it before.
Mm-hmm.
He never wanted to get in it as much as Walt did. I mean, he's a drug dealer. I mean, like, I feel like he was much more...
He was fine with just making enough money to get by.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think that this was, like, his dream to do this. It's become that for Walt. Like, this is what he wants to do.
Right.
Yeah. It's weird that we'd find this transformation in Walt... Who, I mean, literally, if you look back, he started as a high school chemistry teacher. He started out as a good guy, obviously, the whole Mr. Chips to Scarface thing that Vince Gilligan has told us time and time again. But Jesse, what Jesse sees in Walt is not only like a father figure, but somebody that will, well, I guess that's part of being a father figure, but like protect him and always like look out for his best interests.
Which he's never been doing.
No, but he's so easily manipulated into thinking that we end up sympathizing with Jesse, not just because he is a smart guy, he could like make a decent life for himself, not only just as a criminal, but literally he could probably translate that into a legitimate success in whatever field he would be if it wasn't too late for him already, but that he feels so indebted to Walt that he doesn't realize that he can grow up and he can go off on his own.
Yeah.
Even though he's had that opportunity several times throughout the show. It's weird because you think about all the different paths these characters could have taken, but ultimately, the part of the genius of the show is showing you mentioned that it's a show about relationships, and it's the interdependence of all these people. For better or for worse, it might be heartbreaking or... it usually is heartbreaking, but it is still possible, I think, for the show to end on a positive note. I could easily see that coming up with a way to give Jesse a happy ending.
Yeah, this show ending on a positive note means that Jesse comes out on top somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse gets out, that would be Jesse getting out and doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt's going to have to die or go to jail.
Right.
Like, I'm no longer just happy enough to see Jesse, like, vindicated. I want to see Walt punished.
That's a question that's been posed since, you know, everybody getting excited about the premiere online is, does the show have to end with Walter dying?
It doesn't have to, but I'd like for it to.
Why do you feel it's so necessary?
Personally. I don't feel it's not personally because I hate him. He's a bad guy. And because the more we talk about
his,
like...
So you think bad people deserve to die?
Yeah. I am not a serial killer, per se.
Right.
But, I like where this is going.
No, I don't think all bad people deserve to die, but I think in the context of this universe, I would be happy to see Walt... I actually don't think he needs to die. He could go to jail.
Right.
But I'd like to see Walt taken down.
Taken down.
But I don't want to see Walt getting away. And like talking about the transformation, like I think one thing that I like about this show that I feel like an underlying theme for me, at least, is like, is there like, it's good, is it good and bad people, or are we all just like, to a certain extent, like, what, nah, how do you say it? Like, so there are good people, bad people, but you don't necessarily ever get to see, that never necessarily gets tested. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of it is just due to circumstance. So I feel like, has Walt really transformed into a bad guy because he's been sucked into this world, or has, or was Walt always a bad guy? Like, was Walt always selfish to some extent? Was he always making selfish choices? Was he always just thinking about himself?
Just under the parameters of him assuming he has to abide by the law.
Right. And like, so was he always a bad guy? And now because of different circumstances, it's easier to see that. And was Jesse probably always a good guy, but because of different circumstances,
That's the interesting thing is we haven't seen a lot of Walt's past except for when he's at college with his first real love or whatever. It's been pretty oblique what Jesse's past has led him, how it's led him to his present of his parents.
We saw a little bit about his parents and but
that seems more straightforward anyways, but I mean it'd be interesting to know like what was Walter White's childhood like.
Well, to me the question of does he go to jail, does he die, if that's what is answered at the end of the show, then that's not a good enough conclusion to me. I mean, that's kind of going back to The Sopranos again, that a lot of people, without spoiling the ending of The Sopranos, they wanted a conclusion that was...
Yeah, I heard it's very...
Yeah, either Tony goes to jail... And that shouldn't be the main crux of the show.
That's not what the show's about, no.
And I don't really think that's what they would do... I don't think that would be the main theme. One of those two things might happen, but I think if we walk away from Breaking Bad and that's the main thing we walk away from, then I feel like it wouldn't live up to
what's totally true. That's totally true, except that, like, that's true, I agree with you. The difference between, for me, watching The Sopranos and watching Breaking Bad is... And I loved The Sopranos. I really liked it. I liked every moment of it. I would say I loved it equally as much as I'm enjoying Breaking Bad. But I never felt as invested in one individual character the way I feel invested in each of these characters as, like, actual people. Does that make sense? So, like,
Because
Breaking Bad sucks me in a lot more, so
that's
like,
true.
I care more about, like, what happens
to them.
I think
The Sopranos is more about, like, making a point about society, whereas I think... Breaking Bad is a lot more of a character study.
So even though it's like, Tony Soprano is as bad a guy as Walter White, I never felt like I really want to see Tony Soprano go down.
Right.
Right.
You know,
it's also
the way that
The Sopranos is set up as like, it's an other watching show. Like you're watching the world of the mafia.
Yeah, that's true.
And Breaking Bad, I mean, the whole entry point was the fact that this is an ordinary guy that breaks bad.
Yeah.
Although with The Sopranos, it was clearly like you were supposed to identify with.
With Tony.
The mafia, but with real life problems.
Yeah, for sure.
But there were non-mafia characters. None of the characters. But even like in 6 Feet Under is like another show that I really, really liked. And I liked all the characters and they were good actors. It was well written. But there's something specific about Breaking Bad that makes me like cross over that line where it's no longer I'm just talking about like the character of Jesse Pinkman. But like I'm more emotionally invested than I usually am in him as a character, if that makes sense.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it feels almost dangerous. I mean, I totally agree with you, Mark, that like anti-resolution, I love anti-resolution endings. Like I like movies that don't have wrapped up in a bow. But the interesting thing about like Sopranos versus, I don't know, obviously you haven't seen it all the way, but I feel like at least in the seasons I've seen, especially in the like season 3 and 4 is like, it started fucking with the viewers. Like I'm sure you told me too, that like there's viewers that, you know, watched it because it was a mob show and they get mad when there was an episode without any actual mob dealings or incidents or action
or violence.
Like And so I feel like, David Chase, that's the show.
He
kind of purposely liked to fuck with his audience a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
But the interesting thing with Breaking Bad, it's like the only show I can think of, at least modern times, where there's such like a rabid cult following of this show, but no matter what they do, what plot twist they do or what character development they do, nobody ever, like, I've never heard anybody be like, I can't believe they did that on Breaking Bad. Like,
the only episode I've ever heard people complain about, and those people are idiots, is the Fly episode.
Like,
the episodes, yeah. Yeah, like individual, but like, yeah, you're right, no one's a, yeah.
And well, so that- I could see, like, this, I could see, unfortunately, a really big group of people pulling a Lost on the finale of Breaking Bad if they try to do something that is out of the norm,
right,
like they tried to do on Lost.
Yeah.
And people getting really upset if we don't find out the fate of Walter White or something like
that. I think not finding out the fate would not be outside of the norm for this show, though.
I
mean, and I also think that, like, it can be a show where there are a lot of resolutions, but Walter White's fate doesn't have to be one of them, which is maybe what Qualler was... That's what I understood you...
Like, it's, I, okay, like, it's, I'm not talking about, from my perspective, though, I'm talking about, like, from crazy people that are really obsessed with the show on a different level than, you know, intellectually, just as a basic, like, suspense thriller show. It's also really good at doing that, as satisfying, you know, people that try to look for loopholes and plot holes. They like the fact that the show always has an answer.
Yeah.
And the fact
but the
that
answer it, could be Walter White. I feel like they could... I actually feel like this is a show that has had enough... Like, things have happened in such a way that I feel like it wouldn't be out of the norm for the show to end and resolve a lot of things, but not resolve everything and do it in a way that's satisfactory to everyone.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's
true. Like, I actually think that the show could pull that off. So there's not like a fuck you Sopranos ending,
right?
And it's not like a Law and Order ending. Like I feel like they could.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
I actually feel like they, yeah, could do that, yeah, and pull it off. But
that'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I could do it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
So,
guys, the newsroom is encoring right now.
We better watch that.
Oh, yeah. We better end this podcast so we can.
Well, Qualler, what do you?
What do I what?
I don't know. What do you want to say?
Final thoughts.
I'm so glad it's back.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's just really good.
It's like a non-stop orgasm.
It is.
1 hour another per week.
Another Mr. Show reference.
Yeah.
Non-stop erotic something.
I think he says orgasm. Watch Mr.
Let's
Show.
Let's look it up.
In some orgasm, watch Mr. Show, Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Shrinking.
Oh, yeah, shrinking.
And my
really
mother
hard, yeah.
is looking forward. She watched Bryan Cranston on The View. And now is going to watch.
He was so charming.
Yeah, and it's now my parents are going to watch Breaking Bad from the beginning, which they can do on Netflix streaming.
Guys, this episode of The Newsroom is entitled, I'll Try to Fix You.
Oh.
Bleh. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't hear you because of all the vomiting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Netflix. That was a really good segue into talking about our sponsor.
Bam.
Chris pretty much pulled it right back up.
It's fine.
Sorry.
Netflix is our sponsor. You can go to bit.ly/blogflix to get a 2-week membership. $8 a month is the cost for a membership to Netflix. And when you go to bit.ly/blogflix, you are also supporting independent netcasting like our show.
And other shows on
other
the Fancy
shows.
Pants Gangsters
the
Netcast.
Exactly.
Network.
Right. And today, actually, Netflix posted season 4 of Breaking Bad.
Nice.
Sweet.
So if you're trying to catch up to
so
watch
if for some reason
five.
You listen to this whole podcast and yet you haven't ever watched and you're like,
or if you're
Breaking Bad.
Or if you want to remember.
Or if you have friends that haven't seen it
or a
yet.
Mother.
Yes.
I think my parents watch Breaking Bad, don't they?
Do they? Oh, I don't
yeah,
know.
They do.
Text them.
Yeah.
They do.
Why didn't they come over?
My dad wanted to, and I told him he wasn't invited.
Okay.
And,
fair enough.
And this was, I feel like we were
Speaking
standing in Kohl's, and
figure.
He was wearing a cowboy hat and fanny pack, and said,
yeah.
Aw. Oh, can we remake Breaking Bad with your dad as Walter White?
Sure.
That'd be great.
This has been...
Why is Will McAvoy wearing a tuxedo?
Why not?
Exactly.
Hey, guess what?
It's after 6. What am I, a farmer?
You still look like
true.
A... dog.
Yeah. A dog.
A dog.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
Who was it who
Elf.
You said? Oh.
He does look like Elf.
Our friend Miranda also doesn't like Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
In the same
she totally
way.
Under. I didn't even explain it.
You just had to, all you had to say was,
ugh, Jeff
you don't
Daniels.
Like Jeff Daniels.
She's like, I totally get it.
I don't know why you're saying that.
Have you seen his face
I,
and
I
the way he talks and moves?
I had zero.
I talk like I can't even.
I had absolutely no opinion on Jeff Daniels until The Newsroom.
Oh, he's a.
I followed him on Twitter for about 50 seconds, and he had like 3 tweets about golf.
Okay. Yeah, see? See?
Yeah, it's too bad.
Well, I got a boat, so you tell me.
Thanks for listening. Blogulator Radio. Our written version is online at theblogulator.com, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
All that jazz.
And trans.
Per usual.
Watch bunheads.
Our opinions are valid.